Good morning, comrade. You are listening to WHIV LP New Orleans 102.3. This show is called Good Morning, Comrade. You can get more information on our website, goodmorningcomrade.com. You can also check out our Facebook at Comrade Morning, our Twitter. Good Morning, Comrade on Facebook, at Comrade Morning on Twitter, Instagram, Good Morning, Comrade. Also, goodmorningcomrade.com, newly revamped. I figured out how to use the website. We have Aaron and Scott's picture on there. And we cut Scott's head off.
Honestly, I haven't looked.
I'm just going to pat myself on the back.
I'm going to go ahead and review it in real time right now.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Whatever. So keep going.
It's only because he didn't do it when Jeff originally said
yeah,
because
I'm tired and have a life.
Dedicated.
I definitely don't have
my
that.
My goodness.
I don't know.
Too busy selling my labor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's you sold your soul at the company store. So what's been going on? It's been a long time. We're back in my house recording. I'd love to see it. It's a beautiful thing.
You did a good recording in a while.
Yeah.
You did a good job with this.
We changed the whole place around.
It's very official in here now.
Yeah, Robert's got an easy chair. I got like a little setup on the wall so that if we want to do some live streaming, we can make that happen.
Oh, this is nice.
It's all good. We just need a camera.
Yeah. I mean,
oh my goodness. So you had an idea. I hate to talk shop like right off the bat. Let me sit up. So
yeah, talk into the microphone.
So I hate to talk shop right off the bat, but you had an idea that you posted the other day about having a phone number.
Yeah.
So I don't hate that. I meant to get back with you, but again, I don't hate that at all. I think that should be go.
I can set up a voice line, and we can use that to get some interaction from.
I like it.
From our listeners. You can also
we should get all the David Pakman refugees because
he's like turning alt right.
I unsubscribed from him the other day. Yeah, he's got like a deal now with Frogman with Lobster Boy. Yeah, with Peterson. So I unsubscribed with him the other day, and he's the one I can think of that does he does the recorded calls and like listens to them and like comments about them on the air, and also that Best of the Left. Mm-hmm. Podcast. Shout out to Best of the Left podcast. If you like are looking for some, it's kind of centristy, but if you're looking for some stuff to be like, what should I listen to, or like what's a good stepping stone for like people who are kind of centristy to get radicalized, I think Best of the Left, because they plays he has a theme every week, and then he plays the best clips of that theme from
he goes
all
basically
different podcasts.
He basically goes in from like in MSNBC and then left from there.
Yeah, I mean, I found a lot of podcasts there that I wouldn't have listened to before, like Throwing Shade, even though I wouldn't consider they're not lefty, but they're
no, that's like a special interest podcast.
Yeah, but they talk politics sometimes. So there's stuff I found on there which I'd never listened to before.
Mm-hmm.
I thought was good. Shout out to them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think it's just a one-man operation. I'm
yeah,
sure.
And the Sentinel Boys do a call-in line, too. The District Sentinel Boys.
I haven't heard them at
Sam,
all.
Sam Knight and Sam Sachs.
Nope, I really haven't.
They're based out of D.C. They do like a news thing. Anyway.
You know, it's just going to be people calling in to be mad about my vocal fry.
That'd be
That's
good.
That's fine.
That's what I want to
hear.
That's
fine. We can.
I'm like very, my ego is very delicate. I need, if you do call in, please be very nice
Look,
to me.
If
directed
somebody,
at me, because like directed yeah. at Robert, I am on social media posting relentlessly. And I'm telling you right now, if you come for the king, you best not miss.
Mm-hmm.
Like Omar, Robert's coming. Robert's coming.
One,
and he's posting.
Two, Robert's coming for
he's posting
you.
For you. He's posting all about you. So I'm ready. Bring it
I just,
on.
I yeah. feel like if I ever run
come
for
correct.
Office,
Omar.
Someone's going to have a gotcha question. And they're just going to, it's just going to be a printout of all your tweets. And they're going to be like, did you marry this person?
Actually,
I'll be like, yes.
I've gotten, there's tweets, and I don't even want to get into them. Like, I read from, like, our personal meat friends, like, in the meat space world, where I'm just like, man, I'm not trying to police people, but y'all got to chill.
Yeah.
I'm just like, whoa. Like, not even, like, I'm against what you're saying. Like, y'all really are putting this out on the highway?
Mm-hmm.
Like, y'all, man, y'all really trying not to get...
You know people read these, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember there was a time when the Library of Congress was going to, like, archive every single tweet?
Oh, yeah. That...
I think they had, like, very... much more high-minded aspirations for them when they actually...
They didn't know what Twitter was.
They didn't know, like, Brett Bug was going to be a thing, I think.
Brett Bug. That was a good moment. That was, like, a 2 minutes of history and time.
I still... And 50 Feral Hogs? Oh, my God.
Yeah. You know, I saw somebody posting yesterday on Twitter, just to talk about online for a little bit. Somebody posted, "There goes that boy," and said it was the worst meme. And
no!
I was like, that is the best
that
meme.
That boy's the great. Best.
What up?
There was, like, a solid 6 months where... Robert would just do that to me randomly when I was like trying to do other things.
He ended up
or
buying
have
a
unicycle. Conversations, yeah. And he would say he was going to put on something I would like, and then it would be like Hillary Clinton doing that.
Oh,
that
no.
Boy.
I mean, it obviously wasn't the real Hillary Clinton. It was like a thing.
What thing? What thing would that be?
I feel like it was like maybe H3 or something.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. It was just like,
what's
it was
three,
because
three.
Oh, Ethan, like, Ethan and Ela from, they're like a comedy podcast / YouTube celebrities. Nice guy. Centristy guy. He's going to have Papa John on his podcast.
Papa John.
He might have already had Papa John on there because he's got a whole meme about like how the Papa John's pizza sucks and it's like Papa Bless, whatever. It's a whole meme thing. But like, he's going to now have like Papa John is like, if any of y'all follow our Twitter, like I tweeted about that, Papa John going on H3H3 podcast. I was like, yeah, Papa John is a human trash bag. Like, John Schnatter is a trash bag, and his wife is now, she filed for divorce. But if you look at him.
My wife left me. Papa John's wife left me.
He's just posting these, like, Instagram videos of him. He's like, hey, it's Papa. He calls himself Papa John now. He never did that. Yeah. Like, outside of commercials.
He became the brand.
He's like, oh, it's Papa. But he's not. He's gone. Like he has nothing to do with anything. But he's like. He's like, yeah, I'm out
here.
He's
having a real identity crisis.
He looks puffy. Yeah. He looks like he's on, like, really bad, like, cocaine lace. Allegedly, I'm not saying Papa John's is on, John Schnatter's on cocaine, but still, because this goes out on the radio, but allegedly. Yeah, what he looks like. But, like, he just looks puffy. He looks sad. He looks like, I put that, if you've ever read, I Have No Mouth, But I Must Scream, he's, like, at the end of that book. He's just like a sad man thing that has no mouth but must consume garlic butter sauce. I feel what I'm trying to say is I have troll's remorse for him now. Like a little bit, not like still his trash bag, but
I mean, that's the thing. If you dig deep enough, you'll have troll's remorse about everybody.
Nope, don't say that. Stop being
everybody
a social worker. Stop being a social worker. Let me enjoy
every single person.
Let me enjoy my hate.
No, it's
I welcome their hate for me and my posting. That's if FDR had Twitter, that's what he would say.
That is 100% not what he would say.
What would he say?
He would say, oh, I'm not on Twitter. I made an account in 2009. They haven't logged on since.
No, he'd say, I welcome the
exactly
hate.
Exactly what he would say.
No, you're completely wrong. Posting Papa John. Yeah, this Papa John's
poster.
Terrible. But yeah, we're talking about H3H3. I felt like we were going to...
Oh, we're talking about that boy. Because,
that boy meme.
Because we were talking about how... I mean,
oh, and Hillary Clinton. That's what I was going
to
say.
She's like pivoting again. So if you all remember in the election, she was like trying to be young. She was like, I got hot sauce in my bag. Like,
Pokemon, go to the polls.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that.
You forgot?
No.
How could you ever forget?
I must have blocked it out.
That ruined Pokemon Go for me.
But so like, again, it could have been someone else, but I think H3H3 posted a video where it was like making fun of that. And it's like kind of, it's supposed to be her. She's on a unicycle and she said, here comes that boy. And you made me watch that probably 30
so
times.
So bad. I love that boy though. That boy is top shelf meme economy.
Yeah. So whoever was doing that must have just been like mega edgelording.
So good. Y'all want to talk, since you brought up She Who Will Not Be Named, y'all just want to talk about Hillary Clinton for a minute?
I want universal chocolate milk, even though I'm lactose intolerant.
Well, let's just break it down for like...
I watched that whole interview. I watched all 3 hours of it. Because
let's break it. I haven't seen it. You've seen it. I saw it. But I haven't listened to it or anything. Let's break that down for a minute for the people who like listen to WHIV, listen to our podcast, but don't follow the exploits of Howard Stern and Hillary Clinton. So I know that's a weird like Venn diagram of like things that don't overlap, but like, can we talk about that? Why
might
are we
two discrete circles?
Why are we talking? You're the news guy, Jeff. You're you're the designated news guy. You're the hard news guy. So why are we talking about Hillary Clinton in 2019?
So so every now and then she'll go and talk to somebody or make some kind of public comment, talk like blaming Bernie Sanders or whatever for her losing the election in 2016. And like a part of it was, it came up on this interview that she did with Howard Stern, which actually, like, again, like I am a sick person and I did watch the whole thing. The things I noticed the most about it was that Howard Stern was like totally fanboying the entire time for Hillary Clinton, which I couldn't imagine doing for any politician. But
fanboy for Bernie all the time.
That's not a fan. I mean, like, it's not a fanboy thing, is it? I mean, maybe it is.
I mean, it's
called him Daddy Bernie.
But that's like a meme. That's like a meme thing.
Yeah,
I get you. I don't think that's relevant to
it's
be
a
honest.
Little, like, it's a little. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm not being self-aware enough here. But like, there's I suppose there's a tinge of irony that I'm trying to, you know, put forward while I'm doing that. At the same time, like that's been the guy I've been supporting the entire time. Either way. But he's like, you can tell, like this entire, you know, 3-hour thing, he's like got his feet up and he's like, you know, holding onto the microphone and his voice is very sort of like deferential. Like he's met, you know, his greatest celebrity that he's ever seen before. And again, but part of it came, specifically when they were talking about how Bernie Sanders in 2016 started offering things like free college. And Hillary Clinton and Howard Stern started likening it to like somebody running for school president or whatever, saying free chocolate milk for everyone. You know, those kinds of things. And just kind of like trivializing these plans that would change people's lives like dramatically. If my student loans just disappeared and I didn't have to pay $40,000 to Sallie Mae or whatever, you know, I didn't have that hanging over my head like the sword of Damocles forever, then my life would be fundamentally different. You know, I would be able to do a lot more things. I'd have better credit. You know, if Medicare for All got implemented, I wouldn't have to worry, even though I have decent insurance. I don't have to worry about, you know, having a life-threatening thing. I reach my limits or whatever, and then, you know, the insurance company's not going to pay for it. I actually had a conversation with a friend on Saturday. He was talking about incident that he went through last year. I don't want to drop his name. He said he might be a guest on the podcast and maybe he could talk about it himself, but he had pancreatitis. He had insurance, ended up getting a huge bill because he had to be in the hospital for 6 months. You know, it was one of those sorts of things. Had complications and all that other stuff. So like these, like trivializing these broad programs that would change people's lives is extremely not funny to me. You know what I mean?
I'm shocked that a man who made a name for himself by parading a bunch of unpaid, serially mentally ill people on his show.
That's true. Yeah.
For our entertainment, has bad politics.
Yeah.
I am shocked.
I guess, I mean, Aaron, you're right. And you're always trying to be cheeky. But you're right. But here's the thing. Here's my, like, super. This is why I'm actually. This isn't even funny to me because it's, like, super problematic. I've been a Howard Stern fan for decades now.
Yeah.
And I like hand waved away a lot of that, especially like what Aaron just said. Mm-hmm. I remember like maybe 10 years ago, more than 10 years now, I went through like a really bad breakup. And Richard and Sal and their prank phone calls, like honestly got me through
it. It got you through it.
It got me through. So I'm able to wave away like the casual racism, exploitation of, like you said, like of mentally ill people. I've waved that away, and I've even like, and my main defense, and I say, okay, all that's messed up. But I've always said with Howard Stern, this is the thing that I cannot forgive. when you boil him down and you get him an interview, I said he's one of the best interviewers of all time. He's up there with like Cronkite or Larry King.
He's a tremendous interviewer.
Amazing interview. I've seen him. One of the best interviews I've ever seen with him is with, I keep wanting to say Little Richard, and that's wrong. Who's the exercise guy?
Richard Simmons.
You probably look this up on YouTube. Richard Simmons has like, he's got like this very tragic life story about how he used to be fat and then he was fat and he got skinny and then like he still has all these problems with like anxiety and people. So he built this persona of like,
I'm sorry, I just need to stop you real quick because right. You say that's a tragic life story and I feel like that's the life story of like most American.
Right,
women,
right.
Please continue.
Most Americans' lives are fairly tragic.
Yeah, sure. But he's got this super life story and he's built the idea is he's built this shell of a persona of like, I'm zany. I'm Richard Simmons. Howard Stern was able to sit him down in an interview and go, Richard, stop.
Well,
tell me about yourself. And he cut through that. And by the end, he had like Richard Simmons crying.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just like, Richard, this isn't just a radio show thing. He's like, we don't live that far from each other. I want you to start coming to my house. He's like, you are my legitimate friend. Please hang out with me this weekend. He's like, I'm really interested in your life. I'm interested in you as a person. And he was just, Richard Simmons was like, nobody's ever really said that to me.
And that's the best part about him in the sense that he has the ability to sort of like connect and empathize with people when they're sitting in the same room with him. Now, he's not sitting and connecting and empathizing with the people who would benefit from universal health care and all these other things.
My point is that I've told you this whole long spiel, I'm bringing it back around, that the man is smarter than that interview that he did with Hillary Clinton, and he's a better interviewer than that.
Yeah.
100%.
It was actually a good interview.
So I'm like,
for most
what
of the
are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you say it was, I couldn't watch, I just watched some clips of it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you are smarter than this. You're smarter than this. He's a guy who follows politics.
Mm-hmm.
He follows the events of the world. He's well read.
He's a rich guy, though.
Yeah, I guess that's so. Is that what it boils down situation. To? Is that it?
Yeah,
I mean, you're just able to hand wave all that away. You're hand wave because you're a rich guy and your class position is even an idea of it being threatened is too much for you and you're just able to hand wave away reality.
Yeah.
That's what we're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess I'll go with that.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'm like, you're trying to con all the people listening to this that 2016 did not play out the way it did.
Mm-hmm. I just think it's so funny to me because I have really never liked him for a lot of reasons. Mm-hmm. But solidly, his views on women have historically not been great. He's definitely become more progressive on that. And he, like, all the characters that you love have, like severe mental illness.
Absolutely. No, you're 100%.
And it's they're played as the butt of a joke and they don't get paid. Like,
right.
It's hardcore exploitation.
That's a labor
issue.
Mental
illness. And it's just, hearing you struggle with this, I think it's very indicative of, you know, it's like we're, like you said, you're able to, very bravely, you're able to dismiss that casual racism.
Well, I'm saying is I'm trying to get you in my head and be like, what was the point where I'm like, okay, this is done. The same thing, you know what I equate it to is pro wrestling.
Yeah.
Pro wrestling is the same way. Because like, it was like entertainment and I liked it. I was able to, and I still am a fan of pro wrestling, but I just take it in differently. I consume it differently than I have in the past. But let's say like WWE. Okay, the boys weren't getting paid right. I was able to kind of, you know, not even justify it. I kind of just pushed it to the back of my mind. And then casual, it's always been casual racism in wrestling. I was able to hand wave that away as being sexism. Be like, oh, this is Shakespeare's Theater of the Round. Mm-hmm. This is the new Globe Theater. Of course, it's going to be base entertainment.
Yeah.
There's going to be racism, sexism in there. I was able to just, rightly or wrongly, I'm just saying, dismiss that.
Yeah.
But then like, oh, we're still doing a Saudi Arabia show and Khashoggi just got cut up by the gun. I'm like, no, like the line has to be drawn somewhere. No further. There just becomes a point where I'm like, I can't look it away.
Let me pause for station ID and we'll continue this. So you're listening to WHIVLP New Orleans 102.3. This is Good Morning Comrade. Aaron, you wanted to make a point?
Yeah, I think people, especially with shows, you know, with podcasts and with these shows where people are talking to you, it's a very intimate thing to have.
Yeah.
Like someone be in your house or in your car, or in your headphones talking
to
you.
We're having a very intimate moment right now.
We are. So hi guys. But it becomes to the point where you stop thinking of it as like entertainment that you're consuming, and it becomes more, it's almost like part of your identity.
Yeah. Parasocial stuff.
Yeah, and so because people get, like, for instance, like, you were okay with a bunch of stuff, and then you weren't okay once, like, something you really truly believe in, which is universal healthcare. He kind of went after that. But there's a lot of different aspects that people feel very strongly about that he could have, like, mortally wounded before, which I'm not saying, like, you specifically, but I think, you know, we talk about, like, kind of woke culture and cancel culture a lot, but that's the reason why it seems like it's so prevalent. It's because people have these, like, really intense reactions to the media they consume.
Yeah.
And it becomes part of their, you know, their identity. And then, so it's essentially like, okay, well, if you're saying that Howard Stern is, like, not the be all end all, then you're saying that there's something wrong with me for liking Howard Stern.
Right, which is not what you're saying.
Yeah. And so it's like, I think we all just kind of maybe need to take a step back and reevaluate, like, how are we feeling about the media we're consuming?
Yeah. Can I think it's worth rephrasing. It's almost like the media that you consume, what you're watching and, like, how you consume it does not necessarily, unless it's, like, something, like, that's actively causing damage to somebody who's not consenting or whatever, you know, that does not reflect on you morally or something, in a, like, very sharp sense, as opposed to, like different other
things.
Well,
almost like, I don't know, I don't want to say this because I think the fandom culture is, like, very intense, but
yeah.
Really uncomfortable with the idea of building your identity around, like, something that is made for consumer culture or, like, consumption. Yeah. Like, that is a really problematic thing to me, because it's just inherently not going to be good. Or even, like, building your identity around another person, because people are, you know, people are not great. Like, well, even good ones have moments. And so if you're building your identity around somebody else's actions, then you're bound to get burned.
Right.
Concur.
Yeah. And I think that it's worth, like, saying that no one, like, if you watch wrestling, for example, like, nobody's saying because you watch wrestling that you just co-sign on everything that Vince McMahon says and does, right?
Right.
No,
or whatever. No. That's not what. Or, like, if you consume something like wrestling, it's got all the problematic whatever things. It's bad on labor. It's bad in all the, you know, racism, sexism, homophobia, transphobia, all the things happen on wrestling. Does that mean that if you watch that you're co-signing on all the bad things?
No, not at all. It's how are you consuming it? Are you consuming it as, like, this is a thing? I'm consuming this as entertainment, and I'm aware of the fact that I'm consuming it in this
how
way.
How are you consuming it, Matt?
Or is this, like, I am... Do you guys remember, what was that, the Chive? And, like, people lost their... And Everett was, like, Chive t-shirts, and it was, like, what, I don't even know what they call themselves.
The Chivers.
But I'm, like, that is... That's a lot. Like, forming your identity around... a thing is, like, and honestly, like, the reason I've been, like, really concerned about this lately is because I see that a lot around specific politicians. You know, Kamala Harris just recently dropped out, and I think a lot of people, identity politics, but it's, like, not, yes, there's identity politics, but also people were, like, really building up their own, like,
cult of personality.
Yeah, it's definitely a cult of personality, and it's so dangerous to me because it really makes you, like, okay, for instance, again, I've talked about this before. I read romance novels frequently. They're all terrible. No, I shouldn't say that. They are not terrible. I read a lot of terrible ones. For example, I am a socialist. I don't think billionaires should exist. A good portion of my Kindle right now is billionaire romances.
That's fine.
You know, it's like, But I also understand and realize that I'm consuming entertainment.
Yeah, this you're not, like, your culture that you consume. You're not the idea of, like you become the thing that you're watching or reading or you derive entertainment from. Like, I don't understand why that even is. Like, you are able to separate yourself from the things that you like. Like, I watch wrestling. I'm not a wrestler, right? You
know? Well, it's because it goes back to a lot of the conversations that we've had previously. It's we're not teaching kids, like, how to differentiate themselves as individuals. We're not doing a good, like, there's like different stages of growth, like, and you're supposed to kind of aging milestones essentially, and we're not doing a good job in supporting kids and like hitting those aging milestones. And so essentially it's hard for people to really figure out where they belong. And also there's such a sense of alienation mm-hmm. in our country right now, just like in society, like politically, like economically, socially. And so it's a lot easier to join like a fandom or to be like, oh, I'm, you know, this is my tribe, these are my people,
right,
than it is to find people who you actually like and who you actually care about and like form the like hard, messy relationships.
Right.
But I feel like this freaking primary is like,
those it's like, Tulsi it's group, just,
there's oh the, God, yeah.
There's like, and the funny, I mean, there are people that are like that. Well, everybody except for like Pete Buttigieg. People just, they don't really have the hardcore stands for him.
Sorry. So, okay. I joined a gay dodgeball league.
Oh no. And oh no.
They are not pro Pete. They just said
anti Pete.
Multiple people I talked to said I just don't connect with him. And honestly, like, where is his people if he's it's not gay dodgeball?
A human. He's oh his people are McKinsey and Company, the you know the contractor, or they're you know Wall Street investors, or they're charter school operators, or the, you know all the mm-hmm. things that I mean he's basically just like a clone of Joe Biden. Just putting, you know, his...
He's worse than Joe Biden in my mind because Joe Biden is from a different time.
Yeah.
And he's old and, like, potentially dealing with, like, onset. Like, it's not even early onset dementia. It's just, like, regular old person onset dementia.
Yeah, I'm to the point where I'm not even, like, on our social media, like... I'm kind of over even going after his people.
His brain's not working.
Even Simone Sanders?
Yeah, because it's getting... He started rambling the other day about stacking
Simone
spaghetti
Sanders
sauce.
Should be ashamed of her. Oh, yeah. His whole... I'm sorry.
Now, here we
you
go.
You watch him, and go I'm off. Like, I feel... This, I'm like, I feel I'm like I should call Adult Protective Services, and that's not a joke.
I'm just
that's
glad somebody really else is saying this, and not just me, because sometimes I feel
he's
like...
He's not
crazy.
Well.
She should be ashamed.
Like, he isn't, and... I feel like he has a lot of people around him who will not tell him the truth.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely.
And so it's like, yes, he should know. But at a certain point, I'm like, if his mental faculties are going and everyone around him is telling him he's doing a great job and that like, yeah, please call another Iowan fat because that's going to like really do a good,
man. Good
job on your polling. I don't know. I'm just like
push up contests.
Well, I mean, I don't. If I'm going to put on my conspiracy hat, I think I woke you up like gleefully the other day, Aaron. Is that David Axelrod?
It happened again.
He was gleeful. I was not gleeful.
David Axelrod, who was like the
he was the Obama guy.
Yeah, he's the campaign manager for Obama. Back in when the dinosaurs ruled the earth and Obama was president, but he was on primetime CNN. With Anderson Cooper, and he said that Joe Biden had gone off the rails. And I'm like, this is as close as you're going to get to Barack Obama being like, you need to drop out right now. Because there's no way that he went on primetime CNN without coordinating that with Obama. Without a phone, there's no way a phone call was not made.
They're too tight. They have been forever. Yeah. No,
and Obama said, do it. Or he called David and said, go do this.
He put him up to it.
Yeah, one way or the other. There's no way.
Well, the thing that, and like, I don't know, Obama right now is also kind of in a weird position because he did thing. Well, yeah, because he recently made some comments about how he would campaign to stop either Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders from getting elected.
100% he even said that. I think one of his staffers just said that.
There's no on the record of him saying that, but it was people have said like, oh yeah, that's what he's talking about right now. And I 100% believe
that. But
who
is people? Is it Pod Save America?
Like, but the thing is again, Obama has so much pull and I don't think he's not like a Darth Vader of the Democratic Party, but realistically he's a kingmaker. He has so much pull.
Right.
No one's going to just free. No one who wants any kind of advancement in the Democratic establishment is going to be like wild and fancy free and just say things about Obama. No one's going to do that because they're going to find out who did that and your career is going to be over.
Yeah.
Now, with that said, I was so sick of like trying to critique Obama from the left and then trying to defend him from the right for so long. That was the thing what you just talked about is like that was the the line must be drawn here and no further.
Yeah.
To quote Captain Picard, like, because, okay, so Trump, objective racist man, gets into the White House. Obama says nothing. First day of, like, Trump gets sworn
he's
in.
Like surfing with Richard Branson or whatever.
Yeah, he's out there hanging with Richard Branson. And then, you know, Muslim ban, the guy doesn't say anything.
It's a continuation of Obama's policies.
Oh, but now Bernie Sanders is surging in the polls.
Yeah, on Medicare for all student debt that relief.
There's a chance, labor unions. I mean, it's an outside chance that he could just run the table on Super Tuesday.
That would be sick.
Yeah, that would be sick. And the primary could just be over right there. But the Democratic establishment understands that. And so now all of a sudden, oh my goodness, this can't stand. Like, he's got to speak up now. He's got to throw his hat in the ring. So that's what we care about.
That's Sanders, the thing.
That's our enemy. And it goes back to what I've always said. Trump is not the DNC's enemy. Trump is DNC's tool to raise money.
He's their meal ticket.
He is controlled opposition.
You are listening to WHIVLP New Orleans 102.3. This show is Good Morning Comrade. You can get more information about our program on goodmorningcomrade.com. You can also check out our social media, Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff. You know, it's funny. I was talking about this with in the last two episodes. We had a two-parter with Bruce McGee from Louisiana Tech, and there's this talk about the Democrats and the Republicans being a corrupt duopoly, which is to a certain extent true. And Mark Allen Derry on our program, I remember one time he was walking past and he called the Democrats controlled opposition, and in a certain sense, like, there is a, like, it's a mutually controlled opposition, right? It's good cop, bad cop, where one side will decide that they want to, like, really dial up the rhetoric against, you know, gay people or trans people can't use the bathroom, or we're going to deport all these immigrants or whatever. And the Democrats come and they make it all better, you know, or they did, like, and they make it all better just by, like, doing the same stuff. Just without saying the same words, you know, without riling up all the people with the racist talk.
It's almost like they have a symbiotic relationship.
Yeah, they create necessity for one another. It's like two sides of the coin.
As I sit here in your office and I look at your Star Wars poster, like, honestly, if the Republican Party are like Sith Lords, then I would definitely say like the Jedi are the Democratic Party because they're like ineffective and dumb. But they're dumb on purpose.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's just like a great analogy for American politics.
Yeah. I knew I should have got a Lord of the Rings poster.
I feel like every single leftist podcast I listen to, it's like, okay, you can't be leftist if you're not into nerd culture because, like,
you don't have to be in nerd culture.
Every single leftist podcast I've ever listened to has like references. I mean, obviously, I understand Star Wars because obviously. And also, I'm looking at the poster too. So it's like.
Well, like, that's the thing. In the prequels, like, you really become like, everybody's so mad. I've only watched like the new Star Wars movies where it's like Luke Skywalker just threw with a lightsaber. He doesn't want to train the Jedi. But if you watch those prequels, as bad as they are, I mean, it might be just badly written or whatever, but you realize how like stupid and ineffective the Jedi Order is. They've got all this power and they won't move on it.
Oh my God, we're definitely, everyone's gonna be so mean to us.
No, they're not.
No, they're not.
If you literally watch this thing and you can't understand that, you're just stupid. Oh, they're bad. Hear that, Star Wars fans?
Stupid. All
Jedi
of you.
Knights are trash. Like, quote Robert. They're trash. Like, if we lived, honestly, if we lived in like a Star Wars like world, like if we were just transported to Star Wars world, and I was if I was force sensitive, I'd be a Sith Lord, like for sure. Like, I'd be like, nope, we got power, we're moving on it.
I'm like, but did you ever think about there might be leftists out there that don't watch wrestling?
Okay,
or
so
don't
there might
watch
be,
Star
but
Wars,
we're educating
and maybe
them.
Watch Vampire Diaries?
Here. Well, let's do your Vampire Diaries analogy.
That's fine.
The originals? Can you break down a leftist critique of the originals?
Right, just like cold straight now from memory.
Okay. Right now.
All
right,
so the originals. Definitely, so there was one scene where one of the slave masters was gonna whip one of the little kids, and the vampire was like, no.
Oh.
And like killed the slave driver guy.
I thought that
that was like cool.
The three episodes that we've watched together, and I was like, oh, okay, I'll watch this thing with you. I thought the vampires of like bourgeoisie, laissez-faire capitalists And then, like, the witches who, like, fight against them or whatever, or the proletariat.
Oh, no. No? No.
That's not how that works?
No. Like, the witches are, like, definitely the centrists.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%.
Okay.
You know what? It's really fun sitting here and watching y'all and listening to y'all talk about it, because I don't even know what the Vampire Diaries is.
It's a CW vampire show. No. Well, no. Yeah. We're talking about the originals.
Yeah. The originals is a spinoff from the Vampire Diaries. So keep up, Jeff.
It's supposed to be in New Orleans, but it's obviously also from, like,
circa 2013. So it's not even slightly relevant to current times. But it's really good. It's available on Netflix.
Cool.
Suggest you watch it. Why don't you call in with your leftist critiques?
Me?
Of the originals. Oh. No.
You call in.
You,
call
as in our lovely listeners. Because I know that there's got to be some other people out there that don't really give a F-dash-dash-dash about wrestling or any of these other things that I
you honestly, about. The only line I'll draw is, honestly, you should, if you're going to be a leftist, and you're going to watch media, like,
tell me it's not Star Wars, Star Trek.
Yeah, it is. Like, that should be mandatory viewing.
Okay, so to be fair, I have watched a lot of Star Trek because I'm married to Robert.
And you love it.
I mean, I don't hate it.
You love it.
I like, but my favorite one is the little capitalist. So,
who, Quark?
Know. Yeah.
Well, I love Quark him. Becomes like chill at the end.
No, but I like his brother. What's his brother?
Rom. Shout out to Renee. I'm gonna butcher his name. Renee Abu Jonas, who just died today. By the time y'all listen, so he would have died yesterday. But yeah, he was Father Mulcahy or whatever in the MASH movie. And
Mulcahy.
I don't know. Oh, that's your people. MASH is your thing.
Okay, so I can, like, I know characters from a show I don't even care that much about, and he can't even get the name right
and
for MASH.
He was also Odo in Star Trek Deep Space Nine. Shout out. He was, like, the lawful. He was the centrist for real. Like, Odo was the centrist, like, lawful neutral. And Odo did like a lot.
Follow the rules. I don't care where they bring you.
Yeah, he was like, he did a lot. He was like, I was just following orders. He did a lot of trash things. And they handled that in episodes, bro, too.
Lawful neutral people are just so exploitable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bringing it right back around to Pete Buttigieg, huh? Mm-hmm.
Go, Pete Buttigieg. He's not lawful neutral.
No.
He's lawful.
He's lawful evil.
He's lawful evil. What? No, he's not lawful neutral at all.
Well, who would be someone that I know?
Like on a D&D? Okay, so let's see. Like, who the D&D alignment for presidential candidates? I think Joe Biden would be lawful neutral. For what he's trying to do.
He feels like chaotic neutral.
Evil. He's chaotic neutral.
But yeah, for what he's trying to do, though, it's lawful neutral. Like, but not how he actually,
like,
is.
Kamala Harris, maybe? Lawful neutral?
She is lawful evil.
She's lawful evil.
I don't know. I'm not going to
She's like
that.
A Sith Lord. Like, she... No, she...
I mean, she did... She did...
Put mothers in jail for
yeah.
the
Okay, I mean, to be fair, she never actually put any mothers in jail. That was, like, a
I
weird
somebody
talking
went,
point.
No, I thought somebody no, did go no. to jail for that.
I don't think anyone did.
I beg to differ. We'll put that as show notes, but I think so. I don't want to look it up right now.
Since when have we had show notes?
Since today.
Our first show note will be about Kamala Harris putting children into prison.
About a presidential candidate that has dropped out like a solid week and a half ago.
Well, this is important, okay? Jeez.
I saw somebody posting, just to get back on Kamala Harris really fast, it's coming since we're kind of already there. I saw somebody posting about like raising, this is on my Facebook timeline, somebody posting about raising money to get her back in the race.
Oh my goodness.
Like, but that's the thing. Joking? Like people are, they're basing their own personal political identity around this, and like, because I did see a lot on Twitter, and people were like, "Oh, so Bernie Sanders thinks that we're going to go over there," when and they're like, "Hashtag Never Bernie." Guess I'm going to go with Joe Biden. And I'm like,
which
"Did you
makes,
not?" I'm
I
like,
run
"What?"
Into that on Twitter, which makes no sense because the only person Kamala Harris attacked was two people. She attacked Joe Tulsi Biden. And Tulsi Joe Biden. So it's like, that's not even logically consistent. But these people don't care. Mm-hmm. They don't care about logic. They just be like, "Well, no Bernie." And I'm just like, wow. Like, oh, okay.
That's the thing. It's like when you feel that deeply and that strongly about, okay, like, yeah, you, if those people who have been listening to the show for a while know that I like kind of waffle between like Warren and Bernie and that's like fine. Who I think is, but it's because I'm not specifically tied to like the cult of personality for either of them. So I'm like, okay, well, for a while, Elizabeth Warren seemed like she was going to get me to my goals in a quick way, and I was like, great,
right,
on board, like her. I'm mm-hmm. like, okay, things look like they're changing, so I am able to change. I am not sure. Like,
you get new information and you adapt like an actual human being.
Well, that's how politics should be. Like it was never meant to be this weird like obsession. Like, I mean, we were never meant to have like
I think Corey. I think Cory Booker's lawful neutral.
Oh no, he's evil. No.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, like,
what has he done that's evil? Not ineffective.
To be fair,
evil.
He was. There was only three candidates at the American Enterprise like closed door meeting, and it was John Delaney, Tulsi Gabbard, and Cory Booker.
Yeah,
he's like not great.
Cory Booker.
That's a real question. Like, what has he done?
He basically outlawed homelessness. Ooh. I mean, in the city of Newark.
And he, like, kind of gutted the Newark school system.
And he's gutted the Newark school system. He actually worked, like, he did speeches at Betsy DeVos's American Federation of Children, which is just you are just absolutely dead to me. Right. You're the enemy. Because I'm a teacher. You have made my life more miserable using your power.
What a loser.
You are the enemy.
Sorry. Because he teamed up with Facebook, too.
Do you remember that?
He teamed up with Facebook and they dumped a bunch of money into the Newark school system. And it was ostensibly to promote charters. And it was everyone was innovation. And then we just never really heard about it again. And it's because it didn't really work.
Yeah. So Amy Klobuchar is chaotic, obviously, but I don't know.
Chaotic evil. She eats salad with a comb. Oh my God. That's not a question.
She's kind of
literally everyone,
evil, but kind of neutral. She sort of splits that line.
No, she's she's the worst.
Okay.
I just feel like everyone on Twitter was and to be fair,
Definitely chaotic.
This is another thing. Two things can be true at the same time. Kamala Harris definitely got scrutinized a lot more harshly than some of the other candidates in the race because she's a black woman, but she's also terrible. Those are two things that are true. Everyone's like, well, why aren't you scrutinizing Amy Klobuchar with the same? And I was like, because she ate salad with a comb, and I don't need to ever say anything more than what?
Amy Klobuchar, I see no distinction between Amy Klobuchar and Kamala Harris sort of functionally. In a certain sense, you know what I mean?
If you gave me both of them, I'd take Kamala Harris.
I'm hung up on the idea of I'm hung up on the concept of evil because I think it's hopefully I say her name right. Hannah Arendt.
The banality
of evil. I think to be evil, I think you have to know you're evil. And what I mean by that is you have to have I'm not just doing things because I'm doing things and I know they're bad. That's why I have a hard time saying if we're gonna alignment with Corey, with Klobuchar, is she chaotic neutral or chaotic evil? But she's definitely chaotic because she throws binders at people and stuff.
She's kind of, oh God, can you imagine working for her?
No.
My God.
Yeah.
No.
Tulsi's chaotic neutral.
Oh Lord. So I'm hoping we're going to throw it up
on
the podcast.
I hate every conversation that ever engages with Tulsi Gabbard. Not because I hate her, but because
she says some really I don't like her either, obviously, but she says some really poignant stuff only because the bar is so low.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she says nothing of value. I'm sorry. Robert, we were talking before we started recording, and Robert was like, we got to hand it to Tulsi. She said a really good thing about...
I said I hate when I have to agree with Tulsi.
Okay, but it was because she said something about Trump being an a-hole, and I was like, okay, is there no one else that you could agree with?
Yeah.
But I'm like, that's the thing. The bar is so low, it makes her look really good.
No, it does. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. So... we're going to have to throw the episode up on the podcast because we did a live show and I went on a solid 20-minute rant about how much I hate Tulsi Gabbard. Right. And I still hate her. I still hate her. I hate her so much. Cool. She's the worst. She is chaotic evil. And I'll tell you why. It's because she tricks leftists into thinking that she's has good politics and she's actually racist and Islamophobic and the worst.
I mean, she's connected with Modi.
She's the worst. Yeah. Oh, my God. She's not. Everyone's like, she's the only one.
Does she know she's doing evil, racist things?
Yes.
Or does she think I'm super soldier and these are the bad people trying to take us out?
Okay, so there was an interview and they were talking about
what I'm saying.
Yeah,
by that?
You're making a question of agency.
Yeah.
And I think she is in the position like when you're running for president.
Do you know better or not?
When you were on the DNC. When you are when you're in Congress, the question of agency kind of goes away just because you have the power to do like horrible, awful things to people, you know, based on that situation. So for me, the agency question is just like, I don't care. I don't care because whatever she's doing or whatever he or she or they are doing, it doesn't matter because they're doing the bad thing.
Yeah, it's like
and they have to be stopped.
Either they know what they're doing and they're evil, or they're too stupid to understand that their viewpoints have like negative repercussions for a lot of people who they're meant to serve. Like it.
Yeah, they're still doing the terrible thing. It doesn't matter why. And I'm not interested in making these moral distinctions. What I'm interested in is I'm interested in figuring out potentially why they're making these decisions. Only if that can inform how you respond to these sorts of things to undo them and make good things happen instead.
So this, as a leftist, this bothers me so much. Because, again, like, going back to, I mean, it was lighthearted to say, like, oh, you know, do you have to be, into nerd culture to be a leftist? But there is
a moralizing.
There is sometimes it's this idea, like, you have, it's like, it is the purity thing. Mm-hmm. And, like, I think a lot of people who are actually in the trenches doing the work, like, don't have that. But there's a conversation around purity politics. And someone like Tulsi Gabbard says the right things pretty frequently and sounds like she's going to do the right thing. But then when you actually like dive into like things she's done and then also the meaning behind a lot of the things she says, it's wrong. But then you have all these people who are going to say, oh, I'm a leftist. Like, oh, I'm like anti-war, so I'm for Tulsi Gabbard. But what they don't understand is that, like, yeah, that means American soldiers won't die, but she doesn't
get... Yeah, that's the Jimmy Dore line.
Right. Yeah. Oh, God. I mean, God, we'll have to put that one up because I don't want to go on another, like, 30-minute Tulsi Gabbard rant. But just know that I watched the debate with a Tulsi Gabbard fan, a stan, if you will, and I got so triggered, my Apple Watch thought I was having a heart attack.
Yeah,
it was like,
yeah,
are you
this.
Dying? And I was like, no, I'm just sitting near someone who's into Tulsi Gabbard and wearing a Jimmy Dore t-shirt.
Yeah. You are listening to WHIVLP New Orleans 102.3. This show is called Good Morning Comrade. Get more information at our website, goodmorningcomrade.com. Yeah. Tulsi Gabbard is something else. A lot of these folks...
Again, my theory is that the bar is so low in the Democratic Party, it allows somebody like her to just slide through.
Yeah.
And leftist, baby, hatchling, like, left-leaning people...
Or shysters.
Are so hungry for anything that doesn't sound like...
But there's other stuff out there. And Warren then that... Biden so having to Delaney. Go through someone like a Tulsi Gabbard or a Jimmy Dore, it's noise.
Yeah,
it's noise
absolutely.
That keeps you from getting to like the okay for and like not to toot my own horn, but
toot your
like,
own horn.
I kind of put my money where my mouth is. Like I could be making a lot of money doing marketing somewhere. Like I chose to do what I'm doing. I like doing it,
right?
But to get told by a Tulsi Gabbard fan who like is a marketing person that I'm a bad leftist. Like no, thank you. No, thank you to that.
Yeah.
So, bad. Anyway, I'm sure if she starts listening, she's going to definitely know who it is, but you're a bad person. Stop listening to Jimmy Dore.
Listen to us instead.
Yeah.
We're going to badger you into enjoying this program.
Okay,
that's the way you get
cults of personality are bad except for our podcast.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Definitely feel like you can build an identity around us. We will never let you down.
Never.
Yeah.
I'm making that promise right now.
We can make all of your dreams come true.
God, we our praxis is 100% amazing. All the time.
For our last little bit, can we talk? Do you want to tell your Linda Ronstadt story?
Oh yeah, how because Linda Ronstadt's like a bad person too.
I feel like I feel like that's straight boomer territory because like people listening will be like, "Who is Linda Ronstadt? Is that Instagram?
Who is Linda Ronstadt? Can you please?"
So she's a singer. I still, to be fair, I knew her name, but like I could not tell you a single song she sings. I mean, I can because I'm, like, looking at her YouTube right now, and it says Pompeo and Blue Bayou, so I'm assuming those are two songs that she sings.
Blue Bayou is a good... Those
not the nasty...
Roy
yeah, it's not about the nasty water park.
Well, anyway, again, it's like...
The water park was named after that song, perhaps.
I bet it was.
Oh, Lord Almighty. That is quite the legacy to have for yourself.
That's a gross, disgusting place. If you ever find yourself in Baton Rouge for whatever reason, do not visit Blue Bayou.
Maybe we should do a live show there.
Oh, definitely.
Didn't like 100%. Arcade Fire or Panic at the Disco, there was like a riot or something there like 10 years ago.
What?
Like kids were trying to... Shout out to Baton Rouge Sucks podcast. But yeah, because they always talk about the legendary Panic at the Disco riot or whatever. And yeah, apparently like
Panic at the Disco is always in the middle of controversy.
Do you think that's why they did a Pete song? Maybe that was like a very scarring situation.
I don't think they did a Pete song. I think Pete took a song.
Yeah, I think they wrote it with Pete in mind, personally.
They had to have ha-ha hope for a
little. Well, but anyway, the reason we started talking about Linda Ronstadt, she's been kind of making the rounds because, again, we are... I don't understand. Let's all just have better standards. She apparently said something...
Also, like, stop looking at looking to celebrities for guidance.
Correct. Yeah, it was like she said something to like... It was like, yes, queen, like shut Mike Pompeo down. I didn't read what she read. Wrote or anything, but I'm like, okay, yeah. Like people have been shutting
who cares? Pompeo. Pompeo, who yes. has yeah. time to talk about this, this ridiculous Secretary of State?
Well, so yeah, whatever, like we don't care about him, but so apparently she's been making the rounds because of whatever she said. So someone was like, oh, like since she's been trending, like let's remember this iconic clip, like we stand a queen, and it was like a clip of Linda Ronstadt being like, oh, you know what? If I didn't want to perform in a country with like different values than mine, I wouldn't be able to perform in America. I wouldn't be able to perform in Australia. I wouldn't be able to perform anywhere. And everyone's like, yeah.
Where did she want to perform?
She wanted to perform in pre-ending of apartheid South Africa.
Apartheid South
Africa. And we're not talking about like, oh, we're going to go like to a mixed race like concert. Nope. She got $500,000 to perform at an all-white resort. So cool. Thanks, Linda. Thank you.
Honestly, I can't believe apartheid. Like, it's scary to me how little time ago, like, apartheid
1994.
Was 1994. Yeah.
Okay. What was apartheid?
These kids.
System of racial classification in South Africa. There was four different races. There was white / Afrikaners. There was colored, which was mixed race or, like, Indian. There was... There's black, and then there was, what is the other one?
I don't know.
Was there You've white?
Honestly, I feel like English and Dutch, like Afrikaners, and then there was like the other white people. Oh like, I honestly think that's probably wrong. But yeah, that was in 1994, y'all.
Yeah.
Disgusting. Okay? The world is trash.
So everyone who's like stanning Linda Ronstadt on Twitter for like, oh, we need more of this kind of civility, just know that you would be pro apartheid.
Mm-hmm.
So. Just know that.
Like, I guess the lesson that we could take away from this show more than anything, like,
kill your heroes.
Not even that.
That's a lame thing to say.
Don't make pop culture people, be it singers, be it Star Wars, be it whoever, and definitely be it like Elon Musk. If you're just one of those weird people,
don't
who
even
really
bring him
love
up.
Elon
we're
Musk.
Trying to end. I can't.
Well, you mentioned South Africa. His family got most of their wealth through during apartheid. But anyway, basically, don't look at these people as any kind of influence towards the way that you think politically, unless they're Cardi B.
Oh yeah, no, 100%. We stand a queen, Cardi B.
She's shilling for Pepsi right now, and I'm totally here for it. Get your money, girl.
Your money,
get it on,
girl.
All you girls out there, get it on the pole. Get it from Pepsi. However you get it, get it. Get your money. There's no shame in any game. I stand for all that.
Well, thanks, Robert. I'm glad that they have your permission.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have my permission. They have my support
and your blessing.
I'm standing up and stepping back. And before I, I'm standing up at the stage, tipping, and then I'm stepping back. That's what's up.
The DSA.
They're giving a platform
caucus
to women.
For appropriate strip club goers.
Exactly. The TSA, the DSA exotic strip club
aficionados, but not in a creepy way.
No, not at all.
Cool.
Oh man,
fantastic.
We don't have time to dig into the morality of going to strip.
I mean, the morality is tip. That's morality.
I mean,
there's
morality.
The morality is
tip. Tip, your
don't
tip.
Don't be gross.
They work in it.
Don't put your hands on anybody.
That's the morality.
And tip, tip, tip.
Tip. Mm-hmm. Don't be asking
Don't
for
ask
stuff.
Them who hurt them.
Yep.
Yeah, whoa. That's really weird. That's a weird thing to ask.
Questions.
Don't ask them if they feel exploited. Okay? There's a lot of... I mean... Honestly, for real, if you are interested, check out the, oh my gosh, what is her Instagram name? She is amazing. She's so, hold on. You guys talk. I'm going to figure it out.
No questions.
She's got an amazing.
Just.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
So Aaron follows this stripper who has like a line of clothing or whatever. It's called like Tip Her or something like
that.
Yeah,
I love her.
And she does like these two panel comics about like her life at the club, which are pretty funny because guys, we always be like, trying to holler.
Well, there's the ethical stripper.
Are they from New Orleans?
No, there's like a lot of
a New Orleans like strip club.
I mean, to be honest, we should do a whole episode on this because there are like a lot of really great resources if you want to find out how to be a consumer of like sex culture without being exploitative. There's like a ton of resources out there. We are not going to be the kind of leftists who are like, don't watch porn, but just like watch good porn. Like watch porn where they get paid.
Right.
Yep.
So anyway, that's a good note to end on, huh? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's the idea of potentially having like a future guest or something. Absolutely. Talk about the sort of like work side of that culture. But anyway,
Jack the Stripper. Sorry,
Jack the Stripper.
Okay,
that's a great Instagram.
JACQ the Stripper. She's got a mate like all of this that we're just talking about, like so good.
All right. So
I also want real quick before we go, all of our UK listeners, December 12th, go vote Labour, vote for Corbyn. We do have a lot of UK listeners.
Corbyn by Christmas.
Not all of y'all are on VPNs. If you're VPNing from the UK, I don't understand why. Anyway. But like that's a weird place to VPN. So I'm going to assume all y'all that I see on the charts are actually listeners in the UK. Mm-hmm. Vote Labour. Drag everybody who you can to the polls. Vote Labour. Vote for Corbyn. You can literally change the world with this vote coming up on the 12th.
Yeah. And so there you go. That'll be the end of it. So during this show, I was actually pulling up my Google Voice number. And this could be our temporary call-in line until we... until we get our show organized. So if you want to leave us a little, drop us a line, you can email us, you can text us, you can Twitter, Facebook, whatever, you can drop us a line in all those ways. And now you can call us, leave us a message at 504-459-9945. Leave a message there. If I answer it, then just tell me to hang up and then call back. <That's funny. laughs> I'll give you instructions if I mess up. But in the meantime, 504-459-9945. That's going to be at least our temporary call-in line. So thank you for listening. This is Good Morning Comrade. You can check us out on Facebook, Good Morning Comrade, Twitter, all the stuff. Now you can call into our voicemail line, 504-459-9945, and get more information at goodmorningcomrade.com. Love you, and good night.
Bye.